War and Political Unrest. By 1990, there were nearly 1,000 active publishers in Rwanda. However, the political scene was becoming unstable, and in October, forces of the Rwandan Patriotic Front, or RPF, invaded the northern part of Rwanda from neighboring Uganda. Ferdinand Mugarura, a courageous brother who had been imprisoned for his faith on two different occasions, was living in Ruhengari when this invasion started. He recalls, "Hatred and tribalism were spreading. Yet, Jehovah's Witnesses maintained their neutral stand, not getting involved in the political factions or ethnic prejudices. Because their brothers refused to violate their neutrality, some had to flee their homes and some lost their jobs. One sister, a schoolteacher and widow with three children, refused to make contributions to the army. For this, the head teacher reported her to the military authorities, and she was thrown in prison for a second time, having already been in prison during the 1980s. When the invading forces reached the town where she was imprisoned, the prison was broken into, and all the prisoners escaped. However, instead of fleeing with the other prisoners, the sister remained in the prison. When the invading forces withdrew, she was rearrested and transferred to the central prison in Kigali. There, she prayed that she might know the date of the memorial, since she did not want to miss it. To her great surprise, she was later released on the very day of the memorial. Because of her neutral stand, she lost her house and her teaching job, but she became a zealous pioneer instead. With international intervention, the invasion from Uganda was temporarily halted. In 1991, moves were initiated to install multi-party politics in the country. Several major parties and a number of smaller parties were formed, which created a spirit of regionalism and tribalism. Some parties had moderate objectives, but others were militant and extremist. For the first time, the neutral stand of Jehovah's Witnesses was seen favorably. Because they did not take sides with the political and tribal factions, the Witnesses were no longer viewed as enemies by the government and by the people in general. In September 1991, an international delegation of brothers accompanied by two brothers from Rwanda, Gaspar Ruakabubu and Tarsis Simaniga, visited prominent government ministers in Kigali. The brothers spoke with the new Minister of Justice, who listened to them sympathetically. The brothers thanked him for the positive steps already taken and encouraged him to go further by giving us full religious freedom. In January 1992, before legal recognition had been granted, the brothers held a district convention in Kigali. Godfrey and Jenny Bent reminisce, "We were serving in Uganda at the time and were surprised to get a letter from the branch office in Kenya asking us to go to Rwanda for 3 weeks to help with convention arrangements and with the recording of the drama. The brothers were overwhelmingly hospitable, and we were invited to eat with a different family each day. A private soccer stadium had been rented, and preparation was well underway when we arrived. By then, the brothers had already planned the drama recording, and it went smoothly despite the limited equipment available. Although many brothers from the north of the country could not get papers to travel, and the borders with Burundi and Uganda were closed, there were 2,079 in attendance on Sunday, and 75 were baptized." Legal recognition at last. A few months later, on April 13, 1992, the work of Jehovah's Witnesses was legally registered in Rwanda at last and for the first time. The long struggle to proclaim the good news in the face of bans, harassment, and imprisonment was over. The brothers could look forward to a new era of theocratic growth and expansion. The governing body lost no time in assigning missionaries to the country. Henk van Boesel, previously serving in the Central African Republic and Chad, and Godfrey and Jenny Bent, formerly serving in Zaire, now Democratic Republic of the Congo, and Uganda, were the first missionaries to get residence visas. A country committee was appointed to oversee the preaching activity. Brother Bent relates what happened when they first arrived with Henk van Boesel. "We soon found a suitable house for a missionary home very close to the Kingdom Hall. We immediately plunged into learning the Kinyarwanda language and found it to be quite a challenge, as it had been for the first special pioneers back in 1970. One of the textbooks gave this advice: The letters CW together are pronounced Q. We also remember that the sister teaching us said, you will never properly pronounce the Sha in Yesi Nyucha, the New Earth, unless you smile. Later that year, a new peak of 1,665 publishers was reached, and in January 1993, another district convention was held in Kigali. This time, the attendance was 4,498 with 182 baptized. Kiala Mwango came as a representative from the Kenya branch. No one could have suspected at that time that on a plot of land just across the road from the stadium where we held the convention, a branch office would be built in 2006. Despite another invasion from the north, the preaching activity did not slow down. By 1993, the invading army reached within a few miles of Kigali. The borders with Uganda remained closed, and heavy artillery fire could be heard just over the hills from the capital. About 1 million people had fled from the north of the country. This included 381 brothers and sisters who were taken care of by their brothers in and around Kigali. However, in Arusha, Tanzania, a ceasefire was negotiated, a buffer zone was established, and the government agreed to share power with the invading forces and a number of larger and smaller political parties. A very special assembly day. A special assembly day was scheduled to be held that year in the Kigali Regional Stadium. However, the stadium authorities had made a double booking. A soccer match was scheduled for 3 p.m. The brothers attended the morning session, but before the afternoon session could start, the soccer fans began to arrive and the police could not stop them from entering. The stadium manager said that the match would not be over until 6 p.m. So the brothers left and returned at 6 p.m. to hear the rest of the program. This caused some anxiety because a curfew was in force. Vehicles were not allowed to travel after 6 p.m., and people could not be outside after 9 p.m. However, at about 7 p.m., a radio announcement said that the curfew had been postponed to 11 p.m. In addition, there was no certain electricity supply for lighting. Since the terms of the rental of the stadium had not been respected, the mayor of Kigali arranged for lighting to be supplied. He even arranged for free transportation, which was made available to the brothers after the program. Thus, the brothers were able to hold the entire assembly program. Imagine their surprise when they came out of the stadium and found a large number of buses waiting for them. Gun Tereshka remembers that he visited Rwanda at the end of September 1993. He recalls, I was sent by the Kenya branch to Kigali to teach the Kingdom Ministry School with Brother Ruakabubu. There were only 63 elders in Rwanda at that time, although the number of publishers had increased to 1,881. There was already much tension in the country, and we heard rumors of fighting in the north. Of course, no one expected the terrible times that lay ahead, but the school certainly provided food at the right time. It fortified the elders in their faith, equipping them as shepherds, which was much needed as the dark clouds of war approached. Plans to establish an office. At the end of March 1994, Leonard Ellis and his wife Nancy came from Nairobi to attend special assembly days and to help the translation office. The branch in Nairobi had recommended that the missionary home and the translation office in Rwanda be merged. On Monday, April 4, the Watchtower study was attended by an enlarged translation team, the country committee, the missionaries, and brother and sister Ellis. It was an exciting time, the start of more expansion. Having completed their work, brother and sister Ellis left on what would prove to be the last passenger flight out of Kigali for many months. The following afternoon, Brother Ruakabubu phoned the missionary home to say that the Russian embassy had relinquished its claim to a plot of land on which we had been hoping to build a country office. It could now be allotted to Jehovah's Witnesses, and we were to have a meeting about it the next morning, Thursday, April 7. That appointment could not be kept.